this type of conference and all the different ministries they do online, and you can see two women who are in stepping into a God-given ministry. I'm also very honored to be able to be the opening act for Kristen Schiffman today, and I've looked at her ministry many times. And if any of you are like me and have the Disney Channel on 24/7 for your children, then you'll understand when I say that right now I'm feeling like the Demi Lovato to Hannah Montana, okay? I'm feeling like the opening act for this great girl, and I'm just so honored to be a part of everything that's going on here tonight. And I just pray that God is going to speak mightily to you through His Word. And believe me, I pray that He would just remove me out of the way and that you will hear straight from Him tonight. Now, this conference obviously is one that's meant to be very practical, and I do intend on keeping it that way, just for the simple fact that at the current time, I have been in an intense period of God's reshaping my own ministry and teaching me what He wants me to do next, what my ministry is supposed to look like as He moves me forward into what I always say is number next. Anytime that I'm trying to evaluate what it is that God is looking for from me, obviously I do that against the backdrop of Scripture. And when He gives me something that is able to shape my view, when it shapes my philosophy and knowing His mind towards me, I feel very compelled to share it with someone else. And so that's what I intend to do with you tonight, is be practical, give you tips about your own ministry, share with you what God is doing through mine, because if your faith walk is anything like mine, then you appreciate hearing what God is doing in the lives of others so that you can resonate with those stories and maybe find some camaraderie there and see how God maybe could be working in your own life and you've just not quite recognized that yet. And so I'm going to share that with you, but I also want to share that from the basis and the undergirding of Scripture, which is, of course, our foundation and everything that we work from. Now, our scripture tonight, our topic, I'll just go ahead and begin with that, is when God's will and a woman's dreams collide. And we are going to teach on that particular subject out of the scripture you see on your screen, which is Philippians 2:13. And actually, we backed up to 2:12 to give us a little context. I'm always very leery about just pulling one little verse out of scripture and presuming to teach on that. So I backed up a little. And so before we get started, I'm going to read that to you. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And here's our focus. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Now, what I would like to do for you tonight, first of all, is just to consider just a little bit, again, as a backdrop, as a basis, as God's will. It might be a mysterious topic for you. I know it's something that's very prevalent in our Christian culture, is this idea of God's will and whether or not we're walking in the quote-unquote perfect center of it. I don't know, maybe you can raise your hands, you can raise it there on your chat screen. If you've ever been a woman who has banged your head against the wall or wrestled with God in knowing whether or not you are doing the thing for which He placed you on the planet. Now, in our promo, I mentioned a few little words to you that I think kind of sum up the four basic groups of how women perceive God's will, and maybe you can identify with one of these. First of all, we have those who are clueless. We're maybe afraid that the purpose for our life has eluded us. We don't really know what it is that God has called us to do. We don't know how to find that out. Maybe we've just not been given the tools to discover what our gift is. I call those the clueless ones, and I say that with great love and humility. It's just that my husband's a preacher, and I feel a need sometimes to alliterate, so I'm going to give you some C words. He tells it all the time that everything I've learned from him, and so I'm going to give him that credit today. So anyway, we have the clueless ones, the ones that just don't know. Maybe it's eluded you. We have confused ones. Maybe you're worried that you're going to miss out on the entire purpose of your life if you accidentally, not because you meant to, but maybe you chose B over A or one opportunity over another. Or perhaps you did mean to. Maybe it was just flat out sin, and for a season of your life you were not walking in the Spirit. And so maybe you believed that an opportunity passed you by, and from this point forward you just don't know if you can ever pick back up again and be used by God for His kingdom. Those are maybe the confused ones, the perplexed ones. There are those, maybe there are cowards that you know that you're called to do, but you're afraid of rejection. You're afraid of failure. You're afraid of not being able to accomplish what He wants you to do with any kind of excellence, or to be commended by man. And as women, I'm going to tell you what, girls, that is one of our downfalls, is that instead of laying our gifts before our God and of serving Him faithfully, throwing the thing up to the sky and asking to be Him to be pleased in us, we look for the commendations of others as the thing to affirm our call and whether or not we're really doing what we're supposed to be doing. And if for whatever reason we don't get that commendation, then we feel like we failed and we shrink back and we resist doing what we know that we were gifted to do. And then kind of going in line with what I've just said, there are the catty ones. We find ourselves, and catty is a southern word. I don't know if you northern girls know what I just said, but let me translate. Catty is a word that we use down here for our little girls when we put our claws out, when we decide to fight and to argue with one another, or maybe just compare ourselves to one another. That is the way that, again, sometimes we just get in that mode and we want to be commended by one another, and maybe we feel like another woman has the double portion. Maybe she is the one who's doing what we wanted to do, and that green-eyed monster gets a hold of us, and that flesh gets in the midst of our calling. And so all these different things are ways that is part of this mystery of God's will that maybe confuse us and get us off the real subject about as far as what it is that God wants of us and whether it is that we are truly walking within or operating within what it is that He has called us to do. So my question today, and maybe some things I want to clear up for you about God's will, and to answer a question for you, is God's will, what can we know about it? What are some things that we can be sure of? And obviously we know we can't be sure of anything about God unless we find it from His Word. And so I'm just going to pitch out a couple of things to you. First of all, one thing that we can know about God's will is that it is a delight. Psalm 48 tells us that I delight to do Your will, O God. Your law is within my heart. And so when God's law is within our heart and we are operating within His will, then we can know that it's going to be a delight for us, even though maybe some of the things that He's asked us to do are difficult, some of the seasons He's asked us to endure are hard. Ultimately, it's going to be a delight and a joy to us knowing that we obeyed Him according to the counsel of His will and through His Word. The next thing that we can know is that we will only know God's will through the mind-renewing power of Scripture. And I say that to you because based on Romans 12:2, that verse tells us, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So that verse tells us that we can only know God's will through being renewed in mind through the power of Scripture, and that is something that, again, I'm afraid that we do very little of. We want to know God's will towards us, but we're not spending enough time digging that thing out of His Word. And finally, number three, something I want to tell you, pitch out to you for you to consider is this. Or it's not even to consider, it's just a fact. What am I talking about? It is not hard to find. God's will is not difficult to locate. And perhaps one of my favorite scriptures in all of the Old Testament is Deuteronomy 30:14, when he tells us, when Moses is speaking, and he says that God's will is not up in heaven where you can't reach it. It's not beyond the sea where you can't get to it. But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and it is in your heart so that you can do it. And so girls, where God's will is concerned, you can know it. It is not an elusive mystery. It's not something that He's tucked away in some box that you can't find. It's not a treasure hunt, though when you do find it, it does feel like that pearl that was buried in a field that when you found it, you sold everything you had and you purchased that field so you could have it for your own. It is a treasure, but it's something that we can find, and it's something that we can know. And so in keeping in that context and keeping in that line of thought, that this word is in our hearts, it is very near us, it's in our mouth, it's in our hearts, so that we can know it and do it, that will bridge us to our focus verse today, which is this. Again, for it is God who works in you, inside of you girls, to will and to do according to his good pleasure. So we do see that there's something that is very available to us. And I hope that we can just establish that as a foundation right away. Now, what I would like to do now, if you'll allow me, is I would like to present some principles to you based on this verse, this God working in us to will and to do according to his good pleasure. I want to present some principles to you from that verse that we're going to use as a springboard for determining the heart of God towards us in stepping into a ministry and stepping into serving him. We're just going to jump straight into it. We're going to go to number one, and I hope that you can see here on your screen that you're number one. And I'm so sorry, first of all, that I'm the loser girl that did not prepare a download for you. I should have had a little sheet where you could have these to print off. But if you just want to jot those down, they should be available on your screen long enough for you to be able to make notes if you so wish. First point, first principle, our will must originate in the heart of God. Our will must originate in the heart of God. Now, Lisa, what is it that you mean by that? Let me just tell you, girls, I'm just afraid. I'm afraid in a culture that is all about me, in a culture where we have a predetermined idea about how our life is supposed to proceed, about the events that are supposed to come into our lives, over the situations that come upon us, that we have a predetermined end that we have decided in our minds is going to be pleasing to us, I'm afraid in that type of culture that we have perverted the Lord's Prayer. Now, what do I mean by that, you may be asking yourself? Instead of praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, here's what I believe it is that we're praying today. I believe we're saying, my kingdom come, my will be done, so earth will seem like heaven. Does anybody agree with that statement whatsoever, or worse? And I'm pointing my finger at myself right now when I say this. Have you ever prayed that prayer yourself, that you wanted your earth to seem like heaven? Girls, let me just say to you, because the Lord has just banged me upside the head with this one, and he's told me this statement so many times when I have found myself feeling sorry for a situation I've been in, or just feeling sorry for myself because my life didn't feel like it was going the way I had planned. But listen and hear me well. Heaven help us if we all were to get our way. Someone is always going to be disappointed, and I'm going to promise you one thing, that someone is never going to be your God. He is the one who holds all things together. He works all things according to the counsel of his will. He does not slumber, nor does he sleep. He sings over you. This one is the one who has the final say. And you can't even imagine. I cannot even wrap my mind around the logistics of running a universe. I can't even run my own measly life with any measure of success without messing up and blundering and falling and failing and, you know, being on the ground and having to get back up. I can't even manage that one life. I think about trying to manage the life of my family and how very many times I forget the thing on the calendar, or I don't get the bill in the mail, or just all these different things that just don't work out the way they should have worked out. And I think that there's a God in the universe who holds all these details in his hand, in the palm of his hand, and he's holding all things together and working those out. And we have to understand, and we have to accept, and we have to embrace the fact that that one who understands how it's all got to work out, how everything's got to play so that in the end he wins, that is the one that we have got to trust, so that when the answer that we hope for does not come, that we can still be mature women of God who will bow the knee and utter, nevertheless, not what I want, but what you want. Can we be those kind of women? Can we be? I'm challenging you to it. I'm holding you to it. I'm holding myself to it because He holds me to it as well. So if we're going to step into a calling, if we're going to step into ministry and expect it to have any kind of, I'd use the word loosely, success, then first of all, we have absolutely got to be affirmed and assured that our will is originated in His heart. It is not our will. It's not a will that comes from our flesh, but it is a will that is purely and entirely born of the Spirit. I want to share with you John 15:7. And again, continuing the line of thought of what it is we're asking of God, the things that we have in our mind that we think are the way our lives should go, and the things that we're wanting. How is it that we know if we're wanting the right things? John 15:7 tells us this. This is a rich verse. I hope that you can hold on to this tightly and you will let it be an abiding word in you. But 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Now, you might be saying to yourself right now, Lisa, that just contradicts everything you just said. You said, I won't always get what I want. You said, God has the final say. And I absolutely stand by that statement. But here's the thing, and I want you to hear me. If we are abiding in God's word, and you hear the definition of the word abide here, abide means this. It means to remain and not to become another or different. So understand that there is a synchronizing of our spirit and the Spirit of God whenever we are abiding in Him. We are not to become another or different, but we are to remain as one entity, as one unit, and we're to be in sync in our spirits. And so when we are abiding in Him and we find that our spirits are in sync with one another, then when we are asking whatever we wish, what we wish is going to be in line with the heart of God. And so you can be assured that when you ask those things, that you're going to start seeing answers to your prayers that are, like last night, we began the Believing God study, and Beth uses a phrase in there. She said, you're going to begin to see affirmative answers. You're going to start hearing the yes of God when you are praying and abiding, and you're praying the heart of God, because when you're praying what He wants for you, then He's going to answer yes. He's not going to have to tell His child no, 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 because you're praying out of the flesh and not out of the Spirit. So you keep that and you hold that. Whatever you wish, let's make sure that what we're wishing is originating in the heart of God. Now, how can we know if maybe something that we're praying and desiring, other than the no answer from God, how can we know that maybe we're praying outside of His heart? Proverbs 19:2, and God just gave me this verse this very morning because of something very present that He's working on in my own heart. 19:2, Proverbs says this, desire without knowledge is not good, and whoever makes haste with his feet misses his way. Now, I told you I was going to share a little bit with you about my own ministry, and I hope that maybe some of my own experience will resonate with maybe what you're going through in your own life right now. But in this I've shared with Amy. She and I email a lot, and bless her heart, she has been so much shared so much technical advice with me because I mess my blog up on a regular basis. And I know I hear her saying amen. She's in her house barking with her dogs, whatever, the kids, they're all, I'm sure her whole family knows that I am like her problem child. But Amy helps me that the Lord has really been working on me about ministry formation. And when I say that, I mean this. I have found myself in a season of my life. It actually began last year, but this year is just really more profound. I'm in a season of my life where all of my children are now in school. And though I remain very busy, I find myself with 5 days a week of 7 hours a day of unstructured time. Now, those hours get filled, but I'm afraid that a lot of times they get filled inappropriately, or they are filled in a very disorganized way because I don't really have an accountability for that time, if that makes sense to anyone out there. And so as I began praying before this school year even began, I said, Lord, you know, I need some holy obligation. I need something to be accountable to. And the next step in my mind that came to me, the only thing that I really knew that would be a natural thing to move into would be that I would form an actual ministry, that there would be an umbrella from which I would work under, that I would, I went to the church. There's a little tiny office in the back that no one uses. It was a junk room. I cleaned it out. I put a desk in there. And I said, Lord, for you and for my sake as well, and so that I can operate within what I believe is my calling, I'm going to start keeping hours in this office, and I'm going to write, and I'm going to study, and I'm going to pray, and this is going to be my obligation. It's going to be my authority. It's going to be this ministry is going to be the thing to which I'll be obligated, and that was good, and it's been working out fabulously. But here's the thing. In doing that, Luke accuses me often. If you're a woman, I don't know if it's a woman thing or if it's just me because I'm psychotic this way. But a lot of times, I'll say for in a blog, if you girls have a blog, don't you get as excited sometimes about the design of your blog as you do the actual content? Anyone? Okay, I see yes, yes, yes. Okay, good. Okay, for me, forming this ministry, I got really excited about what the name would be and what the imagery would be and what the verse would be and how it was that this thing was going to be presented, so that it had this packaging and it had this nice little bow on top. And I believe so much that I know that the passages of Scripture that God has given me that I believe, if you had to say I have a life verse, I don't really have one. I've got several. And so it was kind of hard to narrow that down, but I do have a series of two or three but that I believe that God would have me when the time comes to found ministry upon. But here's the thing. If you haven't figured it out by now, I'm not very succinct with words. You tell me I need to write a book about my ministry, and I can give you 49,000 words, but tell me I've got to narrow that thing down where it's got a name of maybe three words that encompasses all the imagery and everything that I want to say to you and all the ministry that I desire to do. You can just forget about it. I'm not in marketing for a reason. I'm not good at this. I have you know that when I named the book that I wrote, I didn't even name it. My publisher named it, and we went through a series of emails for weeks trying to nail it down. And even at that, the name is as long as my arm. It's called You Can Still Wear Cute Shoes and Other Great Advice from an Unlikely Preacher's Wife. I mean, who ever heard of a book name that long? But I couldn't narrow it down. So here's the thing that I'm trying to get across to you. And I've just strayed right off the point. I'm looking at my notes here. In this verse, going back to Proverbs 19:2, y'all hang in there with me. Desire without knowledge is not good, and whoever makes haste with his feet misses his way. Here is what I became so afraid of, and what the Lord let me know just with this verse this very morning. Lisa, you cannot run out ahead of me. The knowledge is not there yet. I don't know what the name of that ministry is going to be. And believe me, I wanted to have it ready for you tonight. I wanted to be able to have the pretty little package all put together so I could direct you to this place and birth this baby in front of you. And, ooh, that sounded gross. I don't want to birth my babies in front of anybody. So, again, rabbits. Anyway, the thing is, he let me know is that if I am to run out ahead of him, if I am to go and name it outside of his will and I'm not certain that this is the thing that he has, then I'm going to miss my way. And so I have to be willing to wait on that thing, and I have to be willing to see that born in his heart first before it can ever fully take root in mine and I can agree with him that this is something that he wants us to do. That is how important it is that our will be born out of his heart, because if we don't make sure that that is the place we're operating from, then we'll miss our way, and that's a very dangerous place to find ourselves. Okay, let's move on to number two. I think we've been there long enough. Do you agree? I hope I don't see any yes, yes, yeses. Okay, number two, girls, the smallest deed accomplished in faith is better than the grandest of intentions. The smallest deed accomplished in faith is better than the grandest of intentions. When I was in high school, we had the opportunity when we were in the college prep course of, you know, graduation, diploma program, whatever it is you want to call that, we either had to take French for a year or Spanish for a year. And I don't know why I chose French. At that point in time, Spanish just didn't seem relevant. So my group of my friends and I chose French. And I just have to tell you, there is nothing funnier than a bunch of North Georgia high school students trying to speak French. It was parlez-vous français and comment allez-vous, and it was the most distorted, whacked out French that you've ever heard. Our teacher about pulled her hair out because she could not. She spoke fluently and beautifully, and it was all she could do to deal with us. And so it was just hysterical to hear us trying to turn this. So in the same way that I butchered French, I'm going to butcher some Greek for you today, okay? And I want you to meet two friends of mine that I've met in the book, in my, my Greek lexicon. That's the word I'm looking for. And these are two different words for will. Or, I'm sorry, two different words. Oh, I said two words for faith in your notes. I'm so sorry. These are two different words for will, not faith. Totally different thing there. So just scribble that little faith out and write in will. Two different words. And here's mine. I'm going to call them. These are my girlfriends, okay? One of them is Beulah May. Beulah May and Philo. And my husband, when I was pronouncing them for him today, about died. Because if you had any idea how much time we spent in college and seminary going through his flashcards, learning this Greek, he was just so ashamed of me. But it just made sense to me because I need to visualize these girls. I need to know these words for will because one I relate to very much, and the other one is the one who I wish I was. Now, let's talk about Beulah May for just a minute. She's our first one. And I don't know if these are feminine Greek words or not, but they're going to be girls for us today. The first one, Beulah May, literally means to design or decree, but in the lexical meaning, which is the word picture associated with this word, literally means deciding but not pressing on to execute that which is decided. So, girls, Beulah May is someone who has lots of great ideas but doesn't necessarily follow up on any of them. Does anybody have their hand raised, and can anybody relate to this one besides me? Because in Greek, my name is not Lisa. My name is Beulah May, okay? I am that girl. Okay, our other girl is Philo. And Philo indicates not only willing to do something, but is also something that not only willing something, but also pressing on to action. So this philo word, this word for will, indicates someone who has this idea, but has that fire in their bones that makes sure that that thing is carried out to completion. That is the one that we want to be. And so we're considering our key verse here, for it's God in us to will and to do according to his good pleasure. He doesn't want us to just want what he wants. He wants us to do what he wants, and he wants us to want and do, not just stop at the wanting. Are we all together there? Now, I'm going to give you two different examples of what that looks like in the life of my children. I have four kids. And a lot of you have multiple children, and for those of you who do, then you can testify that it doesn't matter how many children you have, that each one of them is very individual in their personality. Very rarely in one family will there be more than one child who possesses the same qualities. Mine are this way. I have one boy who they play football, and I have one who wants to be a running back. He wants to run the ball. He wants to score the touchdowns, and he wants to get all the glory. But he doesn't want to go to practice. He doesn't want to do the hard work. He doesn't want to run laps in practice. He doesn't want to get hit. He just wants to run the ball and jump up and down on the end zone, if that's what that thing is called. And he wants to be the one who gets patted on the back when the game's over. That's what he wants to do. Now, I also have another son who, until this year, has never been a running back, but he's always in training. Weeks before football ever even started, the kid put on his pads, his football pads, and there's a huge field behind our house, and he would go out to that field, And he would run laps round and round and round because he told me that he had a gut on him and he needed to get in shape before football started. This is Pee Wee football, girls. This is when his brothers were inside playing Wii, eating, you know, Doritos and Cheez-Its and drinking Coca-Cola. He is outside running laps so he can be in shape for football. Guess what that earned him? He gets to be a running back this year. Guess who scored the only two touchdowns that our team has scored so far? It's been him. It's been a result of all the hard work that he was willing to do. It was the will that he had within him, but it was also that he pressed on to action so that he would be able to be given the opportunity that his coaches could trust him with this opportunity to do more than what he had been entrusted with before. And so here's what I want to suggest to you here. God is looking for women. His eyes are roaming to and fro on this earth to see those that he can trust with his word and what they're going to do with it once he gives it to them. And girls, I know I am a Beulah May. I am a Beulah May from way down deep, and I am so bad. I can't even tell you the number of times I've said on my blog I'm going to do something and expect me to introduce this feature next week and expect me to follow through, and I don't do it because I let life get in the way, and I don't know what I expect the fruit of that is going to be when I don't follow through with what it is that I believe was put on my heart from God. But you know what? A lot of those things may have just been wood, hay, and stubble. I don't know, but I also know that I have let very good things fall by the wayside because that is so much ingrained in my personality. But I also know what God will do with the smallest deed accomplished. I've mentioned to you that my son was in training out in that backyard. And I didn't know that's what he was doing at the time, but my little girl had come in. Her name is Sydney, and she had gotten some hot dogs out of the refrigerator. And Cheryl Dean, I think you're here. You've heard me share this story, and it's just something that's impacted me so much. She got some hot dogs. She cut them up into little sections, put toothpicks in them, and heated them up on a nice plate, not even a paper plate. She got a bottle of water, and while Sam was out, the boy who was out running around the field, while he was outside, she took this plate of food that she prepared, this bottle of water she got in the refrigerator, and I just asked her, I said, honey, what are you doing? Are you making yourself some lunch? She said, no, Mama, Sam's in training, and I need to take him a refreshment so that he can keep running out there. It's really hot. And she just wanted to help him. And so she took that out there, and every time that he would pass the back gate, he would stop, and he'd eat a couple of hot dogs, take him a swig of water, and then he would start running around that field again, not even thinking about the fact that eating that hot dog was canceling out any calorie-burning effect of running around the field. But, you know, it's just what he did. But I just saw that picture, and it's just impacted me so much about our roles within the kingdom. And when we're stepping out into service, the different parts that we all play. And so many of us think that if we're not the runner, that we're not important, and any part that we have to contribute is not enough. And so we just stay inside the house while that runner is out there sweating and sweating without anything to drink or anything to be refreshed or anything to encourage them to keep running so they can do the job that God has called them to do. And so I just want to tell you today, when we're thinking about our ministries, when we're stepping out in the things we're doing, that there is no job too small in this kingdom that it does not make a difference. And let me just tell you, let it be okay. If your job is to be the hot dog holder, then girls, you do that thing with excellence. It just still, I can't get that picture out of my mind of that little girl. All she had to do was go out and throw that kid a weenie as he went by that back fence. She didn't have to heat it. She sure didn't have to chop it up in sweet little sections and put a toothpick in each one of them. And she certainly did not have to put it on a pretty plate. But she did every bit of that because as far as what she was responsible for, she wanted to do it the best of her ability, and she wanted that kid to enjoy that snack. And I don't know, that imagery just will not go away from me, and relaying that and applying that to the kingdom. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that we are to give honor to our smaller members and those that have a smaller part, that we're to encourage them and we're to notice them and we're to appreciate them because without their faithful service, sometimes they're thankless service. The ones who are called to run cannot run half as far or half as diligently without their contribution. So whatever it is, be okay with where it is that God's called you, because we are all needed to be a fully functioning body. You absolutely, I'm looking, somebody said you got a hot dog ministry. Absolutely, it's okay to have a hot dog ministry. You own it. You own your hot dog ministry. And going back to our Beulah May, if you are her, like I am her, if you're someone who is likely to have great ideas, you have inclinations, you have desires, but you don't really know how to press it through to action, then I'm going to challenge you to do what I've had to do to my own self, and that is to create some holy obligation. You've got to submit yourself to an activity, maybe volunteer for a church position. I know that we just finished electing our church offices for the upcoming year, and we have many, many blank spots. Volunteer for one of those positions. Speak to your leadership about your desires, the things that you just like to do and how they might fit within your church body. I'm telling you, my husband is a pastor, and there has never been an individual who has come to either him or myself and said, you know what, I really want a place to serve, but I don't know what my thing is. I don't know where I can be useful. There's never been one of those people that we did not find them a job to do. And you know what? That first thing may not be the greatest fit, but you go on and you keep trying and you keep working and you do whatever it is that that you've been called to do, and you do it with excellence and you commit yourself and you obligate yourself so that you don't have the opportunity to stay at home and stay inside the house. That's what I've had to do, and I'm just telling you, it's changed my life in just the past few weeks, and God is honoring that. I believe that with all my heart. Okay. Let's move on to number three. We're going to be wrapping up pretty quickly here. We don't have a whole lot of time left. Moving to point three, principle three. God's commands are for our safety, His will, our satisfaction. God's commands are for our safety, His will, our satisfaction. Lisa, what in the world are you talking about? Let me define some terms for you. First of all, I'm going to be careful how I word this to you, and I want you to understand me, and I'm going to explain myself fully. God's commands and His will are two different things. What God commands and what He wills are different, and yet when they are operating the way that they should, then they will collide. They will be the same. Lisa, what are you saying to me? Let me go on further. God's commands are the things that He has commanded of us. They are the words of His book. They are the words of the Bible. They're the truth that we're told. It's the Ten Commandments. It's every law that's been given to us so that we can live a life of godliness. His word is our command. His will is for our satisfaction. His will, and I'm going to define another word for you, and this is the third meaning of the word will, and that is the one that is on your screen now. It is philema. One more of our girlfriends group here. We have our Philo, we have Beulah May, and now we have Philema. Those are just delightful names. And, oh, you Greek people, you Greek scholars would just die right now. But anyway, here's what this word means. Philema, or this word for will, is not to be conceived as a demand, but as an expression or inclination of pleasure toward what is liked, that is us, that which pleases or which creates joy. So when we're talking about God's will and we apply this definition to Him, God's will is not a demand upon us, but His will is an expression towards us, an inclination of pleasure towards us, so that we will find satisfaction in His commands. Does that make sense?